In 2014, a stamp known as the 1 cent magenta was sold at Sotheby's for nearly $9.5 million, the largest amount ever paid for a postage stamp at auction. Today, it is the most expensive object in the world by weight, but when it was first printed in 1856, the stamp cost, as its name suggests, just a penny. What is it about our compulsion to collect, the human desire to own what is most rare, that can give an item, including a tiny, beat-up, not overly attractive postage stamp, such extraordinary value? New York Times reporter James Barron looks at all of this in his new book, The 1 Cent Magenta, Inside the Quest to Own the Most Valuable Stamp in the World. James Barron is a journalist at the Times, where his articles have appeared in virtually every section of the paper, having covered the September 11th attacks, both the minute-to-minute reporting in 2001 and the 10th anniversary, as well as the Sandy Hook shooting and Hurricane Sandy in 2012. Again, the name of the book is The 1 Cent Magenta, and we welcome James Barron to the roundtable this morning. James, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So what got you thinking about this particular stamp?
I went to a cocktail party, and there wasn't anybody in the room whom I recognized except for one person when I got there, and that was an auctioneer I had written about. I'm a reporter at the New York Times, and I had written about this auctioneer when he sold the Declaration of Independence. He actually sold that twice. And when he sold the Magna Carta, and when he sold one of the pianos from Casablanca. There were two in the movie, and he sold that one for $604,000. So I walked over to him, and essentially I said, "What are you up to now?" And he said, "I'm going to sell the world's most valuable stamp. But there's a problem. There's some people in London, and they may want to dip it in benzene." Well, I thought, this is already a great story. We're off to the races now, I thought. It turns out stamp collectors don't use benzene much anymore. It's too volatile. And he understood that. He didn't understand they didn't use it anymore. He understood how volatile it was. He said the problem with dunking this stamp, which is 161 years old, the problem with dunking it in benzene is dunk, poof, no more stamp. If things go terribly wrong, he wouldn't have anything to sell, and he was looking to sell this for $9.5 million. That's what he got. Well, I thought the idea of dunk, poof, no more stamp, that just was even better, and so I was hooked. That was the beginning of it.
So let us talk about the stamp itself and how it became so valuable. What is it about this stamp that really has gotten us to this point? Why is it so rare?
It's the only one. There are no others like it. It began as a 1 cent stamp, and then it sold for $9.5 million. And it's so that's essentially why it's so unusual. How it got that way is, well, you know, sometimes your ship just doesn't come in. This stamp was printed was issued in British Guiana, then a British colony in South America. And they got their stamps from London. The stamps were all supposed to be printed in London and look like British stamps. But when the ship arrived containing the batch of stamps the postmaster had ordered in late 1855, the batch was short. There weren't enough, and he was worried he'd run out. So he had to do something, and he went to the local newspaper and said, maybe not in these words, "Help me, print some stamps." And so the local newspaper reached into the type case and set type by hand, which is not the way they would have done it in London, and ran off a bunch of what are called provisional stamps, maybe about 500 of them, just to tide him over until the next ship came in. These were 1 cent stamps. They used the 1 cent stamps for newspapers that they mailed beyond where I guess you could deliver them by hand. And so He had his stamps. They were sold. They were put on newspapers. And as a newspaper reporter, it hurts to say this, but at the end of the day, people throw newspapers away. So that there went all the other stamps, but this one, which apparently ended up in a lawyer's house, and then the lawyer, 16 years later, moved to Barbados, and he must have left the house kind of messy because his 12-year-old nephew was sent over to clean it out. And that little boy was into this hot new fad of stamp collecting, and he saw a pile of stamps on a shelf or in the attic or someplace and thought, this will make my collection so much better. And one of them was this stamp. Now, people think of this stamp, the 1 cent magenta, they think of it as the Mona Lisa of stamps. And people who try collecting stamps, I mean, I did as a boy, you kind of hope for the one great find. You hope you'll find some one valuable stamp. This little boy had the Mona Lisa of stamps in his hand, and he didn't know it. He traded it away for 6 shillings.
So it goes to Neil Ross McKinnon. He paid the 6 shillings. And even though he paid 6 shillings, he didn't know that the stamp was unique either, and kind of thought that there was a good probability that it wouldn't be worth anything.
He was very skeptical. He really had his doubts. He was the first of many, including me, to say you wouldn't fall in love with this stamp for its looks. It's not much to look at.
Right.
And he didn't think he could unload it, but eventually he did, and after a couple of other transactions along the way, it ended up in Europe, and that's really what made it into something. By then, people in the world of stamps understood what it was and understood that they hadn't known about it before. Apparently, there was no memo that they would have seen back in London from the postmaster saying, I had to have these provisional stamps printed. One of the people who found out about it and saw it and was excited by it was named E.L. Pemberton. He was one of the sort of founding fathers of stamp collecting. He wrote a letter in which he said, this is the real thing, and he put exclamation points at the end of the sentence in which he said that. Now, when E.L. Pemberton talked, Stamp World listened, and here he was practically shouting.
I do, let me just interrupt the timeline here to ask the inevitable question, which is there a chance that somewhere along the way somebody's going to open a trunk that dates back to 1856 and somebody will find another one?
Well, you never know, and this is probably the time to tell the story about what happened in Utica in the 20s, if it really happened. This story was published in a stamp magazine in the 30s. Now, in the 20s, the 1 cent magenta was owned by an industrialist named Arthur Hind. He lived in Utica. And he got a call from a man who was a sailor who said he had gone in and out of British Guiana and had some stamps he'd gotten from one of his drinking buddies. They'd come from an older relative of the drinking buddy. And he'd read about Arthur Hind and the 1 cent magenta, and he realized that in that packet of stamps from the drinking buddy, he had an identical stamp. Arthur Hind said, come on up. So the sailor went to Utica. He went out to Hind's house and put his stamp on the table. Hind got the 1 cent magenta out and put it on the table, and they looked at it. In the stamp magazine, the sailor said the two stamps were alike. Hind said he would buy the sailor's stamp. Whatever price they agreed on wasn't reported in the stamp magazine. Hind said he didn't have that much cash in the vault. He had a little safe in the house. So the sailor would have to come back the next day. The sailor did so. He gets there. He gives Hind the stamp. Hind gives him the cash. Hind smoked cigars. So Hein takes out a couple of cigars, puts one in his mouth, lights it, and then with the match, the burning match, he touches it to the stamp he'd just bought from the sailor and burns the stamp. The sailor's going nuts. This was the one thing he didn't see coming. And as that second stamp burns up, Hein says, "Now there's only one 1 cent magenta." Well, there's no way to know if this is true or not. There's probably a good chance it's apocryphal. But don't you think it's a great story?
It is a great story. There are many great stories in the book. It's The 1 cent Magenta by James Baron, published by Algonquin Books. Hein, quite a character, so he decides that the last thing he wants is his wife to get the stamp upon his death. So he rewrites his will to prevent her from getting it. He dies. She contests the will. She gets the stamp and ends up putting it on consignment at Macy's.
That's exactly right. She also took it to the New York World's Fair. She showed the stamp around just as Hein had. They really were the first two to show the stamp widely. And then she sells it, and for the next 30 years, it goes around to stamp shows, but the owner, the buyer, was not known until around the time he sold it in 1970. And he sold it to a consortium, 8 investors from Pennsylvania. The lead investor was a man named Irwin Weinberg, who had a real talent for stunts and for getting attention. One of the things he thought of was put the stamp in his briefcase and chain the briefcase to his wrist. So he sent his son out to buy some handcuffs before he left home. He was going to Toronto, and on the plane, as the pilot says, you know, "We're approaching, we'll be landing in 20 minutes, he gets the handcuffs out and puts them on, clamps them to the briefcase. They take the pictures, all their photographers who've been alerted that he's coming with this valuable stamp in the briefcase. They take the pictures of him with it chained to his wrist. He goes and there's a press conference. He appears there. Partway through the press conference, he takes out the key to the handcuffs and puts it in, and the key breaks. And now he's really stuck to the handcuffs. It took a firefighter to saw them off, and that got even better publicity than Weinberg was expecting.
So then we go 10 years later to the John DuPont story. And again, I mean, this story, the overall story is just filled with these incredible stories. But John DuPont, who is, of course, heir to the DuPont fortune, he buys the stamp for $935,000. Well, then he goes to prison for murder of the Olympic wrestler Dave Schultz, which, of course, was the big film a couple of years ago, that story. And he dies in prison. So then eventually a guy by the name of Stuart Weitzman, who is wealthy and famous, he collects stamps, and he decides that he's going to buy the stamp. Now, here's the question I have for you, James, which is, in 1980, the stamp goes for $935,000. In 2014, it goes for $9.5 million. In that time, what happened?
Well, if you look at it as an investment, the stamp kept appreciating in value, I think at about 14% a year on average over its lifetime. Collectibles were hot in the early 80s, especially stamps. They've come and gone, but the enduring key fact about this one is there is only that one. There are no others. And you know, maybe one will turn up, but it's been a while. The odds are not very good on that. So that's where things are now. That's where the bidding took it.
Now, Stuart Weitzman is still the owner, even though it is on display.
Yes, he wanted this stamp seen. In contrast to how it had spent much of its life when it was in safe deposit boxes when DuPont owned it from the time he shot Dave Schultz, the wrestler, until he died. It was in his safe deposit box in Pennsylvania. He never saw it in prison. And it was not sent to any stamp shows during that time. So it was unseen from 1996 until 2014, just before the auction, when it went on a big nationwide tour. And Weitzman very much wanted it seen. So he arranged to lend it to the National Postal Museum in Washington, and that's where it is now.
So let's go back where we began in the story of the benzene. So why were they even thinking of dipping the stamp in benzene?
To authenticate it. One of the things that benzene would do is show if a stamp had been altered. If it had, the ink would run or the imperfections in the paper would show up. That's the idea, although if there's too much of it, the stamp really could just be it could just really destroy the stamp. You don't need those chemicals. At the Royal Philatelic Society in London, which is where David Redden was going with the stamp after the cocktail party, they have sophisticated equipment. It's the same kind of stuff you see in that room on NCIS when they do all the stuff about the fibers or the paper or whatever. They have the same equipment at the National Postal Museum in Washington, and that's really where I came into this, because about a month after Redden went to London and had the stamp examined there at the Royal Philatelic Society, he called and said he was taking it to the National Postal Museum. Would I like to tag along? And so I did. And there was no dipping in benzene or any less volatile chemical while we were there.
When it comes to the future, obviously Weitzman has it, and you don't know where it goes from there, right? I mean, if he decides to sell it.
I don't think he means to sell it. I think he means for it to go around and be seen, and he'll make some arrangement down the road so that that is the way the stamp goes from now on.
So he saved it in a sense.
In a sense, yes. Or, in a sense, what he did is he assured that, like a famous painting, it becomes something that's in a museum and that the public can see.
So, in reading this story, I kept on thinking of something just about overall collecting. I was a stamp collector, too, as a kid. And I just think to myself, well, would there ever be anything like that again? Will we ever have a stamp that will rise to this story of becoming the most valuable stamp in the world?
I wondered the same thing, and I guess the pragmatic, hard-headed answer is we'd probably know that by now. But on the other hand, if you reach back 16 years, that's 2001, maybe there's some stamp that was issued then that we don't yet know about. After all, it took 16 years, or really even a little longer than that, more like 22, for this stamp, the 1 cent magenta, to be discovered, for it to be recognized as what it is. So maybe the day will come.
Are the British upset that it's in the United States?
Oh, maybe. Maybe they are. What we ought to say is this is the only stamp ever issued by Great Britain or for one of its colonies that's not in the Queen's stamp collection. Every other stamp ever issued, wherever the sun never set, is in the Queen's stamp collection in St. James's Palace in London.
So this is, in that sense, the one that got away.
Yes, but they decided not to bid on it in 2014. Head of the collection said they didn't bid on it, and David Redden had been to see him. So for a brief few hours one morning in 2014, the royal collection was complete because this stamp was there with all the others. But then David Redden took it on and sold it.
Well, it is an amazing story. The name of the book is The 1 Cent Magenta, Inside the Quest to Own the Most Valuable Stamp in the World. The book is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. James Barron, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing the story with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The 1 Cent Magenta. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.